The fifth commandment, Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. We come to a little bit of a shift in focus of the Ten Commandments. A lot of people divide the Ten Commandments, into two sections. The first four commandments, they say, have to do primarily with your relationship with God. And then the last six commandments have primarily to do with our relationship with other people. Now, there is some truth to that, and it is a helpful way to think in some ways. Although I'm not sure if we can make such a clean distinction. We'll talk some about that today as we move on today. The fifth commandment is about honoring your parents. Honoring your parents. So we need to spend some time talking about what does that mean? What does it look like? And why is there actually a commandment on this particular subject? So here's our outline for today. Why it isn't easy to honor your parents. If you've ever tried to honor your parents, you may have run into some problems and some obstacles, some hurdles. Anybody ever experienced that? So why it isn't easy to honor your parents? And then the next point is going to be when it's really hard to honor them. We'll talk some about certain situations where that difficulty is multiplied for various reasons. And then we're going to talk about honoring our parents and how that fits into the gospel, a gospel-centered life and worldview, and how that fits together. So first of all, let's talk about why it isn't easy to honor your parents. And you may start off saying, well, what do you mean, Brent? Why is it not easy to, why do you say it's not easy to honor your parents? I mean, your parents gave birth to you, they raised you, they sacrificed for you. Shouldn't it be easy to honor your parents? And I would say the very existence of the fifth commandment tells us that, you know, it may not be easy, at least at certain times, to honor our parents. If it was easy, it probably wouldn't have had to have a command named after it, right? God wouldn't have had to command the Israelites to honor your parents if all the Israelites had already been honoring their parents, right? There's no Ten Commandment to breathe because we all breathe naturally, right? So things that come naturally, we don't need usually commandments from Scripture to tell us. So if honoring our parents came naturally to us, we might expect maybe we would have only gotten 9 commandments, or maybe we would have gotten a different 10th one. Maybe something else would have bumped up the list and made the top 10 list somehow, and honoring your parents wouldn't be on there. But the very fact that this is a commandment clues us into something that, you know, I think is very common in human experience, is that even though we know at an intellectual level that our parents ought to be honored, and even though sometimes we want to honor our parents, that sometimes it's really, really difficult to do that. So that's the first question I want to ask today, is why is it difficult to honor our parents? Why do we find it so hard? And I think there's some real practical reasons for that. We see it very often in our experience. Number one, it's difficult to honor our parents because of the close relationship that's there. The parent-child relationship is a very, very close relationship. You get to know people very, very well. Parents, you know your children, at least up in very likely until the time they get married, better than anybody else. You change diapers, you help them when they're sick, you clean up all their, you know, when they throw up on the, all over the bathroom. I mean, that's just disgusting. You know, I mean, you make these sacrifices for your kids. You know them, you know their personalities. You raise them, you try to teach them. I mean, you make all these sacrifices. You have this relationship. You actually live together. You certainly know people better when you live with somebody than you do when you don't live with them. You know, you see them at the good times, the bad times, and all those kinds of things. So there's an incredibly close relationship in the parent-child relationship. So When we take that into account, we begin to see why one of the reasons that honoring our parents can be pretty difficult. One of the reasons is because we get most impatient very oftentimes with people that we're closest to. Our patience runs out and runs short with our family members, with maybe coworkers that you're working with on a regular basis. The more often you see somebody, it seems like in most cases, the quicker your patience runs out with them. Have you guys found that to be a common experience for you? You know, with your family. I mean, there's nothing to hide. You all know each other very well. You know your strengths and weaknesses. You know what gets on each other's nerves. You know how to pluck each other's nerves if you want to. You get mad at somebody, you just want to do something that really irritates them. The gloves come off when you're in the house. You know each other. When you're out and among friends, sometimes you put on the mask and you're like, oh, you just offended me, but I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to smile anyway. You know, you're introducing somebody, you're polite, but all the politeness, it just goes out the window when you have these close family relationships, you know? And that's a good thing and a bad thing in some ways. You know, the church is supposed to be a place where we don't have superficial niceties and played up relationships. We're supposed to be able to be real and honest and authentic with each other. And if you don't have that with people, there's going to be a way that your life is suffering. Your soul is longing for somebody that you can just be real and yourself with. God made us to be in relationships with him and with other people where we can be real and vulnerable. So there's something that's very important about that. But we also know that it means that we know each other really well and we get on each other's nerves a lot easier sometimes. So we know people's weaknesses in our family. We know what about them drives us crazy. They know how to get on our nerves, all this kind of stuff. You've got this close family relationship. Everybody's living in the same house together, at least while the children are still of the age they're living in the house. And it just kind of ends up being a powder keg in some ways, because you've got different people, different personalities, different wants, different desires, different priorities, and we've all got to live together somehow, and it's inevitable that we're going to butt heads and we're not going to get along sometimes. So there's one element of it being difficult to honor your parents just because you live with them, you've been with them for all your life, at least while they were raising you. You came into conflict. All these kinds of things. You just know each other so well. That close relationship just makes it difficult to honor your parents sometimes. Here's another reason that it's difficult to honor your parents. Because your parents, while you're at least a child, while you're growing up, they are an authority over you. And nobody likes authority. Nobody wants other people telling them what to do. Our attitude as humans is, if I want to do something, I don't want anybody to get in my way. I just want to be able to go ahead and do it. You know, sometimes we've all said, right? I can't wait till I'm grown up. When you were a kid, you told your mom and dad, I can't wait till I'm grown up so I can do whatever I want, right? And then you get to be an adult and you realize, you know, maybe in some ways that you get to do a lot more things that you, however you want to, but you don't get to do anything you want. There's still authorities that you are under in this life. So parents are an authority. So that is already a place of friction. But not only are they an authority, but they are also a strong authority, meaning they actually have the power to take things away from you that you really like. They can ground you. They can give you punishments. They can take away your car, your license. They can take away TV, things like this. All of the kinds of things that parents have to do sometimes to retain control of their children. That takes it up another level of possibility for conflict. But not only is the authority strong, but there's also direct oversight there, where that authority is coming into play day in and day out. You know, when authority is either weak or it's very occasional, we don't come into conflict with those authorities a whole lot. You know, if somebody, think if you were in high school, and you were running down the hall, and there was like a hall monitor out there, and they were like, hey, stop running, but they couldn't really do anything to you. You'd be like, okay, I wish you'd stop yelling at me, but no big deal, I'm just going to keep running because you can't do anything anyway, right? So they are a weak authority. They don't have any power over you. It's not likely that you're going to come into strong conflict with them. Or maybe somebody that has strong authority, but you very rarely ever see them. For a lot of us, that would probably be something like the police. You know, they sit out there on the highway with the radar gun and everything, and we see them occasionally and everything, and we don't particularly like it when we see them usually. Even if you're driving the speed limit or close to it, you still kind of hit the brake and check and make sure you're like, oh, I wasn't accidentally speeding, was I? You know, it makes you a little bit uneasy. But think about if every half mile there was another police officer there checking your speed. you'd be like, okay, come on. Don't y'all have something better to do than just sit on the side of the road? You know, that constant reality of them being there watching you would start to wear on you. And this is what you have in parents. They're constantly there watching you, and they also have strong authority to make you do what you don't want to do. So when you have this close relationship in the first place, and then you have a strong, constant authority in our lives, there is the potential for huge amounts of conflict going on between parents and children. And then it's not only the intrinsic nature of the relationship, but we also have a culture that baits us to dishonor our parents. Our culture baits us, like I'm talking about, like you bait a fishing hook, and you put the hook down in the water, and it's like, hey, fish, come eat this. This will taste good. Yummy, yummy. Worm wiggling on the hook. Come, and it's a trap. And the world is putting a piece of bait on a hook for us that says, dishonor your parents. It's pretty funny. In fact, a lot of comedy on TV is about this conflict between parents and children and how... And in most cases, maybe not all, but in most cases, the perspective taken is of the beleaguered teenager who just wants to do something that makes so much sense, and the parents are just being so, they're being demanding and overbearing and things like that. So we've gotten to the point where we're trained to almost think it's funny when parents and children are not getting along, when there's an attitude of defiance and dishonor among teenagers to their parents. Oh, that's just the way teenagers are. That's just the way life is like. In fact, I had one eye-opening conversation with Tabibi. He's the worship leader for Emmanuel Ethiopian Church. He's in the office. Sometimes we'll go to lunch. He was telling me about a really shocking experience he had when he first moved to Italy from Ethiopia. He was, I believe, in high school, and he said, I couldn't believe when I went to school in Italy that the teacher would tell students to do things and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't listen to their teacher. He had never been in a culture where there was an authority figure that gave you instructions and children didn't obey. But this is how Western culture works. We just kind of assume that it's normal for parents to have to give instructions to their children multiple times. And for teachers to just kind of blow it off, oh, they're probably not going to obey me anyway, but let me tell them over and over and over again until I get mad and have to send them to the office or something like that. We begin to assume that there's going to be this battle between children and parents that's inevitable and is even in some ways to be glorified and laughed at. Some popular philosophers in the 18 and 1900s talked about this relationship between parents and children, and there was even talk about the unconscious desire of children to kill their parents among some of them. That in order to assert their own self and their own authority, not that, and it was in some ways a metaphor, I think, but not entirely, that children wanted to be their own person so much that deep within their mind, it usually didn't actually come out and take any effect, but deep within their mind, there was this resistance to their authority so much so that in an unconscious way, they wanted to kill their parents. They wanted to defeat that authority. They wanted to do away with that parent-child relationship so that they could be their own person. And while I think that is probably a wrong view, and I think it's too strong, at least as a description of the way that most people are, I think there's a seed of truth there in that we do want to rebel against that authority, and we want to become our own person. And there's some of that that is being wrestled through in the teenage years. But we live in a culture that says the exact opposite of the fifth commandment. God says, honor your father and mother. Our culture says, dishonor your father and mother. Mock them. Stay away from them. Don't have anything to do with them. They're embarrassing you. So we have a vastly different perspective coming at us from the culture around us and what the Bible is teaching. That's one of the things that I want you to see this morning. It's that it is hard to honor our parents because we have absorbed a culture that is anti-parent honor. It is all about honoring self and not about honoring authority. And the Bible takes a separate, a completely different view. So not only do we have a close relationship where there's likely to be friction, not only do we have parents being in authority over us, which we don't like anyway, but then it's the strong and constant authority, we live in a culture where parental authority is dishonored. All these reasons come together and make it not easy to honor our parents. And I think the Israelites, at the time of the Ten Commandments, struggled with many of the same things. Maybe not in exactly the same way. They probably didn't live in a culture that was as opposed to honoring parents as we do. But there were certainly elements of it, and certainly the first two would have still applied. So even if your parents are great parents, godly parents, if they're trying to do the right thing, if they're loving you, if they're sacrificing for you, even if everything is perfect with your parents, it can still be hard to honor them. But then I want to talk about our second point, and that's when it's really hard to honor them. Because there are some of you in here today who that scenario doesn't really apply, that you have godly parents who have sacrificed for you and have been worthy of honor. Some of your parents have actually lived in such ways that they deserve little or no honor. What does the commandment have to say about that? Well, let's talk about that. But first, let's give some reasons, some examples about why some parents would not deserve honor. Some parents are selfish and inconsiderate. Now, I mean, all of us are at some level. You know, that's not a black and white question. All of us are selfish at some times, and all of us are inconsiderate at some times. But I mean, the controlling way of their relationship with you as their child was selfish and inconsiderate. In fact, this is so common that I was just doing some research on the internet about a month ago, something completely unrelated to this, and I came across this advertisement from a local counseling group. This is a new therapy group forming called the Daughters of Narcissistic Parents. So this is a problem, evidently, that's common enough that they can get groups of people together and talk about it. Daughters of Narcissistic Parents. And here's some of the descriptions. Here's how to know that you have a parent that's narcissistic, by their definition anyway. Violates your boundaries, undermines, demeans, criticizes, denigrates, is envious, a liar in too many ways to count, has to be the center of attention all the time, manipulates your emotions in order to feed on your pain, selfish, willful, never wrong about anything, self-absorbed, defensive and sensitive to any criticism, seems to have no awareness that other people even have feelings. And the sad thing is that some people's parents are described very well by some of these things. They've grown up being demeaned, criticized, and denigrated by parents in a position, in a relationship where they should have been a strong refuge, a place of encouragement and strength and support and love. And what they have gotten, and maybe what some of you have gotten from your parents, is exactly the opposite of what you should have. Sometimes parents treat us badly, and they deserve little and no honor because of that. Sometimes there's emotional abuse. Sometimes there's physical abuse because of that. Sometimes there's abandonment. Sometimes parents just leave. And you may be in that position and say, well, how can I honor a parent that left me? Some of you have scars that are so deep and even maybe were inflicted many years ago, but are still as fresh as an open wound because of the way that one or both of your parents has acted toward you. Another example could be if your parent is involved in sin or wrongdoing or evil actions. How do you honor a parent who's involved in something like that? Maybe they're involved in illegal activity and you know it. Maybe they haven't got caught yet. Maybe they have. And you think they're doing wrong things. How can I honor that? I want you to know that as we talk about this commandment, I understand that there are some times that it's not just hard to honor your parents in the normal sense, that there are some situations that make it extremely, extremely hard to honor parents. But what do we do in that situation? Does the commandment change? Are we no longer under the responsibility to honor our parents? It's a big question and a tough question. And here's what I would tell you, and as we move into the next point, I think it helps us move into the next point. Honoring your parents changes as we get older, particularly in these situations. Honoring your parents does not mean that you believe they're always right or always perfect or even that they're good parents. You think about the police officer, pulls you over, walks up, knocks on your window. You respect his authority. You honor his authority, whether or not he's a good police officer. He may be a really rude police officer. I got pulled over one time. Guy was just really belligerent, unnecessarily. He pulled me over for the right reason. I actually pulled out in front of him. I just wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. I was completely wrong about that, but he pulled me over. He wanted to give me grief about a whole bunch of other stuff other than that. And he was wrong about, he told me a certain law was this way, and I knew it wasn't. And I said, "I'm sorry, sir. I thought it was this way." And he said, no, it's this way." And I didn't argue with him. I just said, "Yes, sir, I'm sorry." And then he left. We parted ways. I called the sheriff's office a couple days later and I talked to somebody in authority there. And I said, "Look, I think he was wrong about this. Am I right?" And she was like, "Yeah, you're right." And I was like, "Just talk to your officers so they're aware of it in the future and everything." But the place to deal with that was not there with him in authority standing outside the car window, right? He was in authority. He was wrong, but I still honored his authority. And that may very well be the case of what you need to do with parents. When they are wrong, when they've treated you badly, when they've treated you wrongly, is you say, "You know what? I'm going to honor you because you're my parents," but that's not affirming what you've done or the way you're living or the way you're acting in any sense. In fact, and here's where I think the fifth commandment can tie in very vividly to the gospel, is that we have the opportunity, when parents are acting wrongly toward us, we have the opportunity, in spite of their actions, in spite of the fact that they don't deserve our honor, to give them honor anyway. Isn't that what the gospel is for us? God gives us love and grace and forgiveness, even though we don't deserve it. Isn't that what God calls us to do? To forgive others as we have been forgiven? Now, in all of that, I'm not saying it's okay to act in these terrible ways that we've talked about some parents acting. I'm not affirming that in any way, but I'm saying we can choose to forgive and honor and be a picture of the gospel to them and honor our parents in that way. So when parents are selfish and inconsiderate, I've got some practical tips for you as we close the message today. I'll leave those for there. So that's one aspect of honoring parents, is that all parents are going to fall short in some ways. You have the opportunity to honor them by forgiving them and by being there for them and with them even through their negative behavior. Sometimes as a child, you have to be the adult in the relationship. And you can honor your parents in that way. But it's not only the fact that we get to picture the gospel as we honor parents, particularly parents who don't deserve it. It's also the fact that, especially in the New Testament, God is revealed to us as our Father. It's not a completely new thing that Jesus calls God the Father, Father, but it's a pretty rare thing in the Old Testament. So Jesus is breaking new ground when he prays, "Our Father who art in heaven." He's giving us a picture that the relationship of parents is a metaphor, parents to children is a metaphor for how God relates to his people, his children. That God is the ultimate authority, and we live under him. We submit to him. We obey him. That our parents, in a fallen, broken way, in a distorted way, we understand, because all parents are sinners, we represent God to our children. So the parent relationship is supposed to be a metaphor for God, our Father, how he loves us, how he provides for us, how he protects us. And our rebellion against our parents is a microcosm of our attitude of rebellion against God. Going back to kind of my first point, when we're talking about parents who are godly, who are trying to do the right thing, we still have an attitude of rebellion toward them. And we shouldn't think, and especially children, teenagers, if you're in here today, I want you to realize that you can't have a negative attitude about the authority of your parents and have a good attitude about the authority of God over them. That the Bible sees these two things as very much connected. We try to separate them in our minds so that we can disobey and dishonor our parents the way that our flesh wants to. But the Bible very much connects these things. So our rebellion against our parents is a microcosm of our rebellion against God and his authority. And part of being conformed to the image of Christ and following Jesus is that we honor our heavenly Father and we honor our earthly father and mother as well. There are four commands, and this is the last of them that come with a warning. Honor your father and mother. And we, as we were going through them, don't make idols, don't misuse the name of the Lord your God, remember the Sabbath, and honor your parents. A couple weeks ago, as we were talking about this, I said, the reason it seems that they come with extra warnings is because we're tempted to minimize the importance of these and say, oh, well, it's not really that bad. You know, next week we get to murder, right? Okay, that's a big deal. Don't murder people. That's really bad. Disobey your parents. Okay, maybe if you feel like it. Reminder that this is really important to God. We're given this command over and over again in Scripture. I'd show you some places, but we're running out of time. And I want to get to some practical ways that you can honor your parents, okay? Here's what I would tell you first. Determine to forgive and honor your parents. Go into an interaction with your parent, particularly if you have a parent that is acting in ungodly ways, in difficult, frustrating ways. Determine as you go into interacting with them that you are going to forgive them ahead of time for the ways that they're going to treat you, and you're going to honor them in spite of that, that you're going to be a picture of gospel and forgiveness to them. Speak honestly through conflict. This is a practical issue. If they are demeaning you, you need to be honest with them. You don't try to underhandedly get back at them or fight back, and if they're insulting you, insult them back. Jesus didn't repay insult with insult. Mom, dad, the way you're treating me right now is not acceptable, and I'm not going to put up with it. You can change, or we're not going to carry on this conversation anymore. Something like that. You've just got to speak honestly and deal with conflict in a healthy, mature way. Like I said earlier, there may be times in your relationship with your parents that you need to be the adult. So speak openly, honestly, and work through conflict that way. And there may be never be a time when they grow up and act and deal with it in a mature way. But we've come into it with the understanding with number one, we're going to forgive and we're going to honor them anyway. All right, so speak honestly through conflict. When you're young, obey your parents. That's a very clear command of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, obey. Now, that doesn't mean you obey them if they're commanding you to do sinful things or things like that. There are would be occasional exceptions to that, but for the most part, your parents are not going to give you instructions in that way. Obey your parents. When you are older, return their investment. They invested a lot of time and energy and care and love into you. Don't forget your parents when they get older. Now, and when I say that, I'm not necessarily saying do or don't put them in a nursing care facility. Sometimes that's inevitable. That's you can't help it. There's just no way. They need care that you literally are not able to give. But there is a certain detachment in our culture where we feel like we can just be hands off, and I think some people have the attitude of, oh, don't get in my way, don't interrupt my schedule, don't take up too much of my time. I'm busy and I've got my own life. And we need to be careful to guard ourselves against that kind of attitude with our parents. They invested heavily into you, I hope, and let's return their investment. Let's honor our parents. Let's think of them often. Let's talk to them often, call, visit, these kinds of things. Here's another one. Speak well to them and speak well of them. Give them praise for the job that they did. In fact, some practical application may be today that you go home and get on the computer or on Facebook and tag your parents if they're still with us and say, I just want to thank you for the sacrifices that you gave. I want to honor you for the job that you did in raising me. There may be some of you today that can't say that directly to your parents. In fact, if you're here and you have a parent that's passed away and you're no longer able to talk with them, but you want to honor them, would you just raise your hand today and say, I want to honor a parent that's no longer with me? I mean, words can't speak, even how much you wish you could just convey those thoughts to them even today. So while your parents are still with you, for those of us that do still have our parents with us, take advantage of these opportunities to speak well to them, honor them, speak well of them when you talk of them to other people. I'm incredibly grateful for the godly parents that God blessed me with, who raised me to know Christ and to value participation in a local church and community, and to live, I hope, they displayed what it means to live a life of integrity. I hope that I can live up to that example. Here's the last one that I have. Treat them and love them as your neighbor. We talked earlier about you have this close relationship. You know them so well. It's easy to get on each other's nerves. It's easier for there to be friction there. Think about treating your parent like you would if they weren't your parent in this sense, as if it was just a neighbor or a friend that you would be polite to. You wouldn't get on their nerves. You would be gracious with them. Other people could push buttons that would bother you, and you would forgive and let it go. But your parents, it's hard to let it go sometimes because you know each other so well. Sometimes just take a step back and say, how would I treat my mom or my dad if they weren't my mom or my dad? How much nicer would I be to them if they were just somebody else? So love your neighbor as yourself is the command of Scripture. And love your parent as your neighbor is what I would add to that as my practical advice to you if you have a hard time relating to your parent in a healthy, honorable way. So those are the things that I want to commend to you today about honoring your parents. Let's have a community and a culture that pushes back against the world's desire to dishonor our parents. Let's show that we honor God and we honor those that He has placed in our lives and authority, particularly the parents that He has given us. And I want to pray for us now that God would help us do that. And I want to pray for those of you today who we've spoken of wounds that have been inflicted by parents, that God would help to heal those. If your earthly father or mother have fallen short, let your heavenly Father make up the difference. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you that you are a perfect father to us. God, we thank you for the parents that you have given us, particularly those of us that have been raised in godly homes and have much praise and thanks to give for the parents that you gave. God, for those that are in different circumstances, for those that are hurt and even in the process now of being hurt by the choices and selfishness that our parents have made, God, I pray that you would give grace, help us to know and understand the gospel, what it means to forgive. God, help us to be strong. I pray that you would give us strength as our Heavenly Father, knowing that we are secure in your strength and your love, that we have nothing to fear, that you will not abandon us, that you love us unconditionally, that you are with us, that you are fighting for us, that you're defending us, that you're providing for us. God, we thank you for being a father to us. And God, if there's anybody here who doesn't know what it's like to have an earthly father and or mother who cares for them in that way, God, I pray that they would know your love and your care in a real and tangible way. God, help us to honor our parents. I pray that you would help us to be strong in conflict, to deal with it well, to forgive and to honor them. God, those of us that are still children, I pray that you would help them to obey their parents. God, help us as parents not to wear down our children, not to be harsh or overbearing with them, but to love them in the way that you would have us. God, we thank you so much for the grace that you give us in this life, the gift of godly parents for many of us. And we thank you for this time in your word and for thinking about a subject that we may not talk about a whole lot, but you have reiterated in your word again and again is so important. God, help us to honor our parents like you've commanded us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.